Jeff Arnold from Gainesville, Florida. Let's do it unto the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you, Brother Huntley. Very kind. Thank you. I leaned over to Brother Carney and I said, I thought I was speaking. Thank you. Thank you. And I especially want to thank all of you for your kindness to me and your prayers and all the folks that kind of worked with me last year and bailed me out. And I just feel like telling everybody and everybody in hell, I'm still here. Hallelujah. I have heard nothing but absolutely glowing, fantastic reports of every speaker. And I have no idea what I'm doing here. Thank you, Brother Carney, for inviting me. Thank you for just loving me. You know, I have no mom and I have no dad. They're all gone. My aunts and uncles are gone. I buried both my brothers. They're gone. I have no sisters. So I'm just kind of like a loner. And it's been a wonderful gift to me that through the ranks of the United Pentecostal Church, great and wonderful people like you and like my brethren, that you have somehow allowed me to fit into your life and allowed me to be a part of your life. Because you are the only family that I have. And maybe that's why I'm intense and why I'm passionate, because I wasn't raised this way. I was a hellraiser and a honky-tonker, and I was a dirtbag and a pool hustler, and we won't go any further. So with that, it is 10 minutes to 9 my time. My Geritol kicks out at 9:30. So I'd like to just preach for a few minutes. I do not want to entertain you. I want to snatch you out of your chair. So I'm reading in your hearing from two parts of the scripture from the book of Matthew chapter 14. If you'd like to go there quickly with me, Matthew 14. And beginning, please, with verse 22, and straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up in the mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. I would ask just your indulgence for a few moments, especially you preachers. Don't finish my sermon before I do. I know everybody in this place, oh my God, he's going to talk about Peter getting in the boat. Well, you ain't read my notes. And the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with the waves. For the wind was contrary. It usually is if you're going against the wind. You'll get that later. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And the disciples saw him walking on the sea. They were somewhat troubled. I would be too, saying, it is a spirit. They cried out for fear. And straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. One more scripture from the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 9. You don't have to turn there. I'll tell the truth. I really will. For I think that God has set forth us apostles last, as if it were appointed to death. For we are made a spectacle unto the world, to angels, to men. For we are fools for Christ's sake. And I have one last thing to say to you, and this does not come from the Bible. One came from Paul in his epistle. The other came from Matthew's gospel. And the last one comes from Connie Francis. You don't know who Connie Francis is, but I was honky-tonky with her back in the 50s and the 60s. And Connie Francis had a million-dollar seller record. Now, I don't want you to go listen to all that stuff. I'm just going into the archives of my mind. Connie Francis had a song that we used to dance to and used to sing. She used to simply say, "Everybody's somebody's baby. Everybody's somebody's fool. And there is no exception to the rule. Yes, everybody is somebody's fool." So I want to talk to you for a little while tonight on the subject. If everybody is somebody's fool, whose fool are you? Lord, bless the ministry and let me be a blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I don't want to be offensive and I don't want you to get all ticked off because I'm supposed to preach good. But we are called by God to be fools. We're not called fools. We're called by God to be fools. And the scripture says we are fools for Christ's sake. And I looked up in Webster's dictionary and here's where I want to help you for a little bit. Fool or foolish. To appear lacking good sense. The key word is appear. Now, forget you. I'm not talking to the living dead no more. The key word is appear. We appear fools to the world, to angels, to devils, to mankind, but to God, He said, "I like it." Let me go a little further. To act seemingly ridiculous. The key word, seemingly. All you doing your little post-hypnotic trance, just stay where you are. All of you folks doing your little impersonation of Mount Rushmore, I'm not talking to you. But I'm talking to the folks who are sitting on the verge saying, "I'm fixing to bust a move here. I'm fixing to spring out of my chair. I'm fixing to throw my head down. Because you don't know like I know what He's done for me. He brought me out of the miry clay. He set my feet on the rock to stay. He established my goings. He put a song in my mouth, even praise unto the Lord." Hold it. Before you sit down, turn left and right real loud and say, "Hey, baby cakes. Whose fool are you?" No, you're not. You're getting too wussified on me. I said, "Whose fool are you? Are you a fool for the devil? Are you a fool for this world? Are you a fool for Jesus Christ?" I got a word from the Lord. You can sit down. You can just sit down. I'll be there in a minute. I'm going to ask you a few little questions. First, you must understand something. The major challenge that we have, not just this conclave, but the whole United Pentecostal Church, the great challenge that is facing us is simply this. Will we accept being mediocre? Or will we reach for the miraculous, the impossible, and the supernatural? Now, if you want to be mediocre, that's your business. But the last time I checked,
The mediocre are always at their best. I don't want to hurt you, Rev. I'm telling you, we are facing a great trauma and dilemma in the Pentecostal movement. We are developing an academic church and not an apostolic church. Now, I'm not against you going to Bible school. I'm not against you, your flip chart. You want a lot of people. I'm not saying that. But we have reached the point now because we are running out of time. We have got to, yes, be academic, but we must be absolutely apostolic. We must have signs and wonders and miracles and gifts of the Spirit. Because if we don't get past being academic, all we are is a cosmetic church. We apply a few principles and a few precepts, and we clean up our life a little bit. Thank God for that. Thank God for doctrine. Thank God for academics. But baby, we are way, way off, and we ain't got time to relearn all this stuff. Now you're not getting it yet. Let me go a little further. To act unusually, to seemingly act absurd, to be reckless in one's actions. Let me help you with this, baby. I died here last time I was here. I don't plan on dying again. If this is going to be your last service, make it a memorial. Make it a monument. Make it so you can touch the hem of His garment. So you can act uproariously. I want to know, where are the fools for Jesus Christ? You can sit down. I don't mean to hurt nobody's feelings. I'm just, I guess, a rude dude. I don't mean to be that way. That's just the way I live in Gainesville. Now, I don't care what you guys do in Mississippi. You for sports, against sports. I don't give a flip. You do whatever you want. I'm not trying to pastor nobody. I'm just trying to help you. I live in idolatry city. Now let me help you with this. Contrary to what you may think, the issue is not sports. The issue is worship. The issue isn't being a fan. The issue is idolatry. So you go to your games or watch them on TV or do whatever you want. I have no problem. Do what you want. But I want to know, when you get your caucus in the church, are you going to be a statue or are you going to be... Are you going to start jumping? Are you start running? Are you going to act uproariously? Are you going to act hilariously? Are you going to act what seemingly is absurd? You mean you're going to do for a ball game what you would not do for Jesus Christ? Whose fool are you? Sit down. I don't want you walking out here saying, Brother Arnold's on some kind of holiness kick. Let me tell you what, Jack. Football ain't got nothing to do with holiness. Baseball, basketball, you're out of your mind. Has to do with adoration and allegiance and commitment and what's a priority in your life. But now, I'm going to say this kind as I can. Don't get mad at me, all you critiquers. Don't get mad at me. You, whatever you're doing, fine. I'm the only guy, Matthew, this is one of our fellows from Gainesville, Matthew. Even when you was growing up, I was the only pastor that I knew in the entire city of Gainesville that didn't go to the Gator games. I'm the only guy. Everybody else got front row tickets. I'm a moron. I'm a fool. I'm an idiot. I'm bigoted. I'm biased. I'm whacked. Fine. In fact, I'm so anti-Gator, I don't even drink Gatorade. Tomorrow, I'm in Gainesville 31 years. 31 years. Haven't got it right yet, but I'm there 31 years. Now watch, watch. A few months ago, don't get mad at me. A few months ago, I said, you know, folks, Sunday morning, place is packed. I said, you know, I've been looking at all this stuff. I've been such a narrow-minded idiot. And I asked you not to do this and not to do that, trying to help you get spiritual. And, you know, I'm reevaluating my position on going to the games. Doc, when I said that, I never had so much attention in all my life. Every carnal bimbo was up on their rear end and up on the tips of their toes going, whoa. And all the senior saints were going, Jesus, 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 Jesus. Help him, Lord. Help him, Lord. Help him, Lord. There's a deceiving spirit on it. Now, I'm only taking a second for a commercial. So I said, you know what? Maybe I've been wrong about all this ball game stuff. Maybe it won't affect us. Maybe I'm just a wussified, weak-kneed wacko. Fine. I'll tell you what. We decide this year to buy a season's pass, and we start going to the games. By the way, the tickets are $200 each, minimum. I said, I'm willing to consider going if you'll meet my four conditions. Lay it on us, preacher. Lay it on us. I said, first place, the game's 4 hours. I said, some of you crazy folks come with leaving on your mind. This is the best thing that you could ever be involved with, is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God. I'm not trying to cause no trouble. Please don't misread what I'm saying. Go to your ball games, dance with the cheerleaders, do what you want. I don't care. Just do what you want. Fine. But their games are 4 hours. We're here an hour and a half, and maybe we have a blowout. We got 2 hours, maybe. I said, so I don't want to hear no griping about you if I preach long. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Point number two. You can't get a seat for less than $200. Some of you people got super glue on your fingers. Some of you folks wouldn't tithe if Jesus asked you to tithe. I said, you'll pay $200 to watch 9 or 11 fools run down the hallway there, and they got the morals of a barnyard dog and couldn't tell the truth standing on the Bible looking at Jesus, and you're in the stand. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I said, point number three, the place is baptized with emotion, and here you sit. And none of them can forgive your sins. And none of them can give you a brand new future. And none of them can take care of your past. If we're going to make some noise, if we're going to act a little foolish, we ought to get foolish for the Lord of glory. Woo! Now, that wasn't in my sermon. That was free. I'm talking about acting uproariously crazy. Because my friends that all go to those games, they talk about people that paint their faces blue. They paint their hair straight up in the air. They got gals jumping all over the place dressed in a Band-Aid. They're pouring beer on you. They're throwing popcorn on you. Don't bother you one bit. Yet you come to church and say, she's in my seat. I'm not trying to be rude. I'm just trying to say, where are the fools for Jesus Christ's sake? Where are the fools that say, I don't care where I sit. I'm just glad to be here. I'm just glad to be a part of the church. I'm just glad to be in this house. I'm just glad to be called by His name. Now please be seated. I got to go real fast here. I just got to ask you a few questions. Are Jesus' claims and promises too lofty for us? Are His promises and His revealed intentions too impossible for people like us to take a risk? I don't know how to say this. It ought to be dangerous sitting next to a holy roller. Somebody's going to dance on your blue suede shoes. Somebody's going to knock your hat off. Somebody's going to slap you upside your head. You say, well, that's outrageous. That's the kind of people the Lord is looking for. People that aren't worried about cosmetic Christianity. People are worried about, I want to bless the Lord with all my strength, with all my voice, with all my heart. He's been so good to me. Woo! Sit down. I'm almost to my sermon. Hold on. See, I want to ask you something. Are you afraid to act foolish? Is your image that you have to protect so well that important to you? Let me help you with it, sweetheart. Your miracle is just on the other side of acting foolish. Your miracle and your answer and your deliverance is just on the other side of tearing off the roof, of screaming at the top of your voice, of saying, Jesus, have mercy on me. Don't let nobody shut you down. Don't let nobody stare you down. They're not fighting your devils. They're not fasting your meals. They're not praying your prayers. Lift up your voice. Fall over dead. I've been dead once. Excuse me. I'm fixing to have a fit. He's my healer. He's my lover. He's my protector. He's my provider. He's my closest friend. He is my King of Kings and my Lord of Lords. And He loves me. Woo. You're getting there, fools, for Christ's sake. You're getting there, fools, for Christ's sake.
You can sit down. Can I go a little further, Rev? I'm not trying to cause you no trouble. You pass in your own church. You do whatever you want. Ain't my business. Boy, you brethren need to pray for me right now because I'm fixing to get downright ugly. I'm fixing to surprise myself. That's how ugly I'm fixing to get. Well, this will be my last trip here. I'll make it a memorial. We preachers that try to believe in godliness and holiness and righteousness, we ask our ladies, try to be modest. I don't know how I can say this. I'm not interested in seeing your cleavage. I got something like that at the house. I don't want to see your underwear. I don't want to see your hiney flash in the booth. I don't want to see you in a dress that you got painted on. You're a fool, but you're not a fool for Christ's sake. You're a fool for this world. You're a fool for the devil. I'm telling you, preachers, you better hear me. Don't let the backslider tell you and I we're a bunch of fools because we try to be modest, unclean, godly, righteous, holy. I got a problem with a bunch of nincompoop Pentecostal backsliders telling all of us we're a bunch of fools.
a fool because you walk away from truth.
Not trying to cause you no trouble. Sit down. I'm not a clothesline preacher. I'm not against everything but fresh air. I'll be 68 years old in a few days. I got a right to say something. You had a great church while I was a whoremonger and a drunk and a liar and a jailbird. You allowed me to come among you. When I first came among you, Brother Webb, I thought you cats were rejects from Barnum and Bailey Circus. You're laughing all you want to. My mother was Roman Catholic. We went to confession. We went to Mass. Oh, yeah, we learned how to say the Rosie. Holy Mary, Mother God, pray for us sin now. Hail Mary, full of grace, Lord is with thee. Bless us the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. I knew all that stuff. Played with the beads. And my mom left the Catholic Church because she married a Protestant. Well, my dad was a Glendale Reformed Lutheran. That wasn't much further away from the Catholics. They just didn't have bees. They just had lots of dead folks. Now, you laugh all you want to because it don't mean nothing to you. But see, I'm near the end of my days. And I see this, excuse the rude one, I see this puke belching out of the Pentecostal movement. And it doesn't make me afraid. It angers me. So we got the gall to say people like G.T. Haywood and N.A. Urshan, and G.A. Mangan, and J.T. Pugh. They're a bunch of fools. I'm telling you, they weren't fools. And if you try to walk in holiness and righteousness, I don't care what your little backslidden friends say, and all your whoremongering relatives say, they are the fools. We are not the fools. I'm not trying to play the audience. I'm not trying to play the audience. I'm just telling you what I see going on. I pastor a fine church, but even in a fine church, the pressure comes up from the pew to make me change, to make me give up, to give this away, give that away, give this away. After a while, I want to know when you say this is okay and that's okay and this is okay, where does it stop? And don't buy that trash like, well, we're standards. Let me tell you, the Catholics, the Presbyterians, the Episcopalians, the Baptists, the Methodists, the Lutherans, they all have standards. They're just a little lower than ours. But they all have standards. I'm sorry. I'm causing you trouble. I'm going to be a fool for Christ's sake until I die. I'm going to go a little further for you, brethren. And if I end up in the rapture and I find out that I was half wrong about all the stuff I tried to refrain from, I will be inside the city and I'll have a lot of time to make up for lost time. But if I was right and that door closes in front of people, see, I don't lose nothing by trying to be modest and moral and separated in God. I don't lose nothing. You me seated. I'm sorry. I'm taking so long. Crowds make me nervous. I want to ask you, who is the fool right now? Who is the fool? The person that rejects the supernatural or the person that embraces the supernatural? One of them's a fool. Now, the person that believes in creation is looked at by people who are intelligent, whatever that means, as foolish. I mean, are you foolish enough to actually sit here and try to tell me that an invisible God from some invisible place spoke into invisibility and all of a sudden, poof, the material world showed up? I'm going to make you answer me. I'm going to make you answer me. You actually foolish enough to believe that God took some dirt and formed it into a body and blew in it and the breath of life. And Adam said, good morning.
I'm foolish enough to believe that. And the God that can make a man can remake a man. I'm foolish enough to believe that he put Adam to sleep and a rib came out and he made this fine looking babe.
Sit down. I'm just talking about myself. Hope I don't embarrass you, Brother Huntley, because you said all those accolades about me. I'm foolish enough to actually believe. I believe the story of Israel's deliverance. I'm not getting much help here right now. I believe that you talk about a mind-boggling story that God took a man who stuttered and a stick and set 2.5 million slaves free.
I'm here to tell you, Brother Dylan, if he can set a nation free, he can set a person free. He can set a city free. He can set a church free. He can set an organization free. All he needs is someone like Moses, who doesn't even speak well, and said, I'll do my best.
Stay with me. I'm sorry. I'm just sweating so bad here. I believe the story. I don't know how. You know, you can have faith and have no understanding. Listen to me. Reason, rationale, and understanding try to advise us how to live and how to act, but they never worship. Just remember, reason and rationale are made to stand outside while faith goes inside. Don't let somebody who's got more degrees than a thermometer and a baptized brain try to tell you and say, well, I just don't think it takes all that. Well, I always answer, well, I do, and I got the microphone. Because I need a miracle, and I need an answer, and I need a deliverance, and I'm persuaded that all of those are just on the other side of reaching the highest zenith of being foolish for God. I'm going as fast as I can. I believe that manna fell. Don't understand it. That rock came, water came out of a rock. That quail fell from the sky. That somehow, now you talk about foolish, Brother Carney, foolish. Now, these people think I'm foolish. I want to know, how foolish did that guy who could stutter? That's what he did, because the Bible said when he was in Egypt, he spoke real well. Read it in Acts 7. He was a man mighty in word and deed. See, that's a lot of people. As long as you're in Egypt, you can talk fine. You can talk about everything when you're in Egypt. Now all of a sudden you're a child of God and in the kingdom and you're tongue-tied. And if you're not tongue-tied, you just stutter. Don't you think God's got a sense of humor? I think that's funny. God's going to put on the biggest jailbreak recorder in human history. What does he do? He sends a guy that can't talk to talk to the biggest monarch on the planet. He's the ruler of the biggest kingdoms on the earth. He sends a guy in with sheep dung between his toes, stuttering in his mouth, and a magic stick. And he's fixing to take on the entire Egyptian empire, and he's crazy enough to believe he can do it.
I'll try it again. If God be for me, it does not matter who or what is against me. It doesn't matter how foolish it sounds. It doesn't matter how foolish it looks. And it doesn't matter how foolish you feel.
Let me get to my sermon. I'm foolish enough to believe that that old guy with the stuttering and the stick came down from the mountain with 10 commandments written by the finger of God, and God ain't got a finger. You say, it's written by the finger of God. That's anthropomorphism. That's when God uses human terminology so you can understand spiritual things. God ain't got a finger. God ain't got eyes. God ain't got feet. He ain't got none of that stuff. Those are human attributes. But he is other than us. So he gives to himself attributes so we can understand. Have you ever seen, the Bible said the eyes of the Lord run to and fro through all the earth. Have you ever seen any eyeballs running around anywhere? The Bible said the Lord runneth swiftly. He don't run. He's already there. That's a term trying to inspire your faith. Are you sure you want me to preach the last night? I know everybody's supposed to explode and everybody's going to get healed and the dead are going to get raised and all that, fine. Let me get out of the Bible because I'm having a hard time with the Bible. Let me get where you are. Everybody's somebody's fool. Well, if everybody is somebody's fool, whose fool are you? Oh, you didn't like Connie Francis? I'll try Brooke Benton. You remember Brooke Benton? He doesn't preach for us, but he used to sing. And Brooke Benton said, fools rush in where wise men fear to go. But angels and wise men, they never fall in love. So how are they to know? What was he saying? Only fools act crazy. How long has it been since you come to church or your own prayer meeting and you just went, shame on you that before you bust a move and act crazy, you see who's sitting next to you. If whoever's sitting next to you can shut you down, ask them to move. Well, what are they going to think? Who gives a flip what they think? Our business is with God. Our business is with the Lord. It matters whether God thinks it's good. Listen to me. Just stay on your feet just for 60 seconds. Listen to me. This is the difference between David and Saul. Saul, because he's a religious junkie, he's in love with the palace and with his position. Watch out, presbyters and superintendents. David is in love with his presence. You're not getting it yet. Me and you's fixing it. I don't know whether you jump around, but I'm going to make you go with me in just a minute. Get all that money out of your pocket so you lighten yourself up a little. Now you got that gold bunion in there. Just hold on. Now you're not getting it yet. David comes back, bringing back the ark, acting foolishly. I mean, he's moving and grooving, baby. He's hitting and getting and going. But his old lady is hanging out the window. And she's got an attitude. Why? Because she's not in love with his presence. She's in love with her position and the palace. And when David comes back, she says, how glorious was the king this day that acted foolishly and uncovered himself before the young maidens. He said, you think that was bad? I'm fixing to bust a move. I'm fixing to get a hold of Jerry Wayne here. Come on, man.
I appreciate your opinion, but your opinion does not count. I want to be a fool for Christ's sake. I want to be a fool for Jesus' sake. You're closer to your miracle than you realize.
You can sit down. I'm trying to get to my sermon. I can't get to it. I'm sorry. I can't get to it. I got too much to say. I just want to ask you a question. I'd like to ask all these brethren on the platform, you that
clap and you that stare. You that... Well, I'm going to say something. They don't want me at the General Conference. I'm going to tell you right now. I would not follow or listen to a preacher that wouldn't worship.
I didn't say they got to go crazy, but I think they ought to have a tear come down their eye. I think their lip ought to quiver. I think they ought to put their hand up, because we lead by precept and by practice. Why would your church want to act foolish when you act stoic?
Okay, don't turn. Don't sit down. Turn and look at someone next to you and say, listen, Latinda, whose fool are you? No, that's too wussified. I'm going to ask you again. I said, whose fool are you? Has God ever done anything for you? Has God ever answered a prayer for you? Has God ever touched you in your darkest time, in your loneliest time? Has God ever picked you up when you had fallen flat on your face? Now, brethren, if God's never done nothing for you, sit on your duff, lock your lips, fold your hands, close your legs, and just be a religious junkie. See, here's our problem. I listened to the Reverend Obama the other day on the radio. Yeah, and I listened to him. And here's what the Reverend Obama said. I am determined during my presidency to do all I can to change the moral direction of America. I heard that with my own ears, and I said, really? I am determined to change the spiritual direction of the United Pentecostal Church. I am going to push us and stretch us until we have signs and wonders as much as we have people getting the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's as much as our heritage as anything. Just because the latter rain come in the 40s and 50s and messed us up, we're long overdue to get back to pick up the mantle and pick up the rod and pick up the supernatural and show this world Jesus is alive.
I'm just having a hard time here.
You be seated. I'm trying to help you. I just want to ask you a question. I'm in a police lineup here, so I can't see halfway back. So you folks that are hiding in the cheap seats, I want to ask you a question. Is there no place in the Pentecostal realm for impulse, for impetuous acting, for crazy, outlandish antics? Is there no place that you can bypass and override reason just because you know and you believe? See, I didn't help you there. There has got to come to the Pentecostal movement that instant of just unexplainable blast off. I'm telling you, in a few minutes, this thing's going to go ballistic. I'm telling you, it is. God is waiting on you and I to decide right now whether we want to be foolish or not. And now, wait a minute. I don't want you to misunderstand. Foolish does not always mean emotional. Just foolish. I'm going to try it again. Is there no place in this movement right now, in this church, in this service, for unusual and outlandish behavior of emotional expressions of hungry souls and desperate people, of extraordinary displays
that produce extraordinary deliverances. We keep sitting here waiting for the Spirit of God to come to us. I got a feeling the Holy Ghost is saying, you come to me. I'm telling you right now, there's enough power in this building. You can lay your hand on someone real close to you and God would fix them and God would heal them and God would bless them if you're willing to look foolish. Hey, Brother David, get over here. I need a good blessing. Put one on me. Put one on
me. In the name of the Lord Jesus,
God,
right?
Yes.
Right now.
I believe it.
Have a
show.
Let him
flow.
Let him
flow.
Let his body. Let his
body. Let him
happen right now.
Excuse me. I got to go for a run. I'll be back in a minute. Are we fools for Christ's sake? Are we fools for the world? Are we fools for the devil? Make up your mind. We need to reach right now. We need to praise right now. Come on, get loud. Get boisterous. Get emotional. Get demonstrative. Come on, Bartimaeus, lift up your voice. Off the building. Come on, here we go. Here we go. You can get healed right now. You can get delivered right now. Come on, come on, keep going, keep going. Don't worry about our visitors. Don't worry about the politicians. Don't worry about the precious people that are here. Keep going. Come on, you're just one foolish act away from getting fixed, away from getting delivered, away from getting everything God wants you to have. If you can believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Can you believe for Jesus' sake? For me to continue my sermon. Come on, let the Lord work. Let the Holy Ghost move. Let the power of God break through this thing.
Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on, woman with the issue of blood. Get the climbing through. Get the crawling on the ground. Come on. You think somebody was foolish? That man that was blind, Jesus put mud and spit on his eyes. You don't think he looked crazy and foolish walking with that junk on his face? But he got a miracle. But he got healed. But he got delivered. Come on. Come on. If everybody's somebody's fool, whose fool are you? Come on. One time in your life, go crazily foolish. Go crazy and foolish. Scream aloud. Jump up and down. Lift your voice up. Come on. Do something absurd, seemingly crazy. Say that's so foolish. He might be the first step towards his miracle. What looks like foolishness could be the first step to your miracle. Come on, come on, lay hands on somebody. You may feel foolish, it may look foolish. If you don't want to pray for them, ask somebody to pray for you. I don't care what the doctor said. I don't care what the bank said. I don't care what the mortgage company said. Act a little foolish with your faith in the Lord and see what God will do.
He just healed Brother Tipton's legs.
You little baby? What's the matter with that little man?
We just sent preachers to the other building. We got over 300 people praying. They got. We sent preachers over there to pray for people.
People started acting weird and twitching his jaw. Thank you.
Amen.
Don't tell me about you feel like it's foolish. How foolish you think Noah looked. How foolish you think he felt when everybody called him an old fool. But his foolishness became his salvation. You got to act in the face of things that looks crazy. Enoch looked like a fool, but he was listening to a world that his world was ignorant about. And Enoch walked out of this world. Don't die out. Don't die out. Don't die out. Keep reaching. Keep reaching. Keep reaching. Keep reaching.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're getting ready to take a step from the prophetic realm to the apostolic realm. We've been pushing against this for a long time. In this conference, we're going to take our first step as a movement into something apostolic. Brother Arnold is sitting in the seat of authority. You study the word of the Lord, sitting is always the seat of authority. He is the man in authority here tonight. We're operating in that authority. But I have a word from the Lord that is apostolic. I need Brother Carney to step out here wherever he's at. He's back there. Get him for me. Ask him to come. Brother Carney, come. I need you to step out here, Bishop. Come step right down here in the middle. It would be very appropriate for you to sense a feeling of nervousness right now. I prophesy to you in the Holy Ghost. Your friends are my friends, saith the Lord. Your enemies are my enemies, saith the Lord. I will bless them that bless you. I will curse them that curse you. And with apostolic authority tonight, I speak over your life, your ministry, and this church. Any hand lifted against it to do it damage will die. You've been in adversity, but when Brother Arnold stepped up here and said, I've come to snatch you out. The Holy Ghost said, no reason for that man to go through a long trial. I'm going to snatch him out with one word. If you'll speak it, I'll do it. I feel a witness in the congregation to what was spoken. So it be done in the name of the Lord Jesus. Let the adversity end tonight. Let the deliverance begin here. Let it begin now. Are you ready to become an apostolic church? If you are, lift your voice and shout with a voice of triumph. The angels of the Lord are lining up beside you right now. Pastor, he's lining up beside your church. The angels are going to war for your church right now. Going to war for your ministry right now. We're in agreement with the word of the Lord. I want you to shout with the heavenly host. The angels are engaging your battle. The sword of the Spirit is raised. The battle is in our favor. Lift your voice and shout hallelujah.
I'm with Brother Klein. It's about Brother Arnold sitting in the seat of authority. When God wanted to fill people with the Holy Ghost, He gave one plan. It was only through repentance. When it came to financial giving, God gave the one plan on giving. When it came to signs and wonders and miracles, it has nothing to do with repentance. It has to do with love. And a lot of times we stand and we wait on the time of repentance thinking that my miracle or my answer's about to come when it's nothing to do with repentance, but you've got to fall in love with the Master. What we've heard tonight, if we'll start loving Him right now, and we'll start magnifying Him right now, from the front to the back, from side to side, miracles, signs, and wonders will begin to take place right now. Come on, I need a church that's going to love Him right now. You need to cry out, I love you, God. You need to begin to tell Him how much you love Him right now. And then we'll go to another section. Come on, it's happening. Tell Him you love Him, and then we're going to go to another level. Come on, God, I love you right now. I magnify you, Lord. I adore you, God. I lift you up, God. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. Give Him a hand clap of praise in this building. If you've told Him you love Him, give Him a hand clap of praise. There's instruction in the house tonight. I'm okay? I know we preach about loosing and binding. If you've got a sickness or you've got a disease or you've got something in your body that you need to get rid of, you need to loose it from your body and you need to bind it in the outer darkness. Now, I'm going to show you something that I heard Brother Arnold say. Every place in the Lord that he did, he said, come to me. So now we've come to him now. We've already taken that step of faith. So whatever your sickness or your disease is, you need to call it by name. You need to call it by name and you need to command it to leave your body. And it's going to happen.
Brother Arnold, while Brother Arnold was praying down here, Brother Huntley just come over, said the miracles are already beginning. He was standing beside a man, needed a healing in his knee. Told Brother Huntley, said, God just healed my knee. The miracles are already beginning in this place. Come on, we're moving through the door. We're stepping through the door. Brother Arnold is back in this seat of authority. I felt like he needed to be sitting down before we shout the shout to release the working of miracles in this place. If you're in pain in your body right now, your legs hurt, your knees hurt, your neck hurts, you're in physical pain, all the way to the balcony, would you lift your hand? If you're in pain, we're going to start with something visible and notable. You're in pain. Many spirits of infirmity, many physical problems. I'm telling you, we're an apostolic power, and miracles are about to happen, and the pain is about to leave your body. Brother Arnold, would you just lift your hands? I'm going to speak this word of faith, and when I speak it, I want you to shout the name of Jesus with a loud voice. I want you to love Him with all your heart, like the prophetic word from Brother David Smith. And while you're worshiping God and loving God, the pain's going to leave your body. Are you ready to shout? By the authority of the Word of God and by the power of the name Jesus, in the authority of the Word that has been preached tonight, I release you now. I command the pain to leave your body and I release the power of miracles in this house. Jesus! Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, shout with the voice. Deaf ears are being unstopped. A deaf ear is being unstopped right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. By the authority of His word, I command blinded eyes to open. I command deaf ears to be unstopped. I command crippled limbs to be straightened. I release you if you're paralyzed to receive strength. If you're in a wheelchair to stand up. If you're in pain in your joints to be released. I curse arthritis in the name of the Lord. Somebody shout Jesus' name. Say ta 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 ya ya la 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 baha. Ye ta 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 sanda la baha ta ta ta. Anybody want to shout about it? Anybody want to give God glory about it? Anybody want to be foolish enough to believe that there's been mighty miracles already and there's many more to come?
down and I'm going to see what happens.
We're going to do.
We're going to see what happens.
We're going to pray for cancer, Brother Kindness.
All right. All right. All right. Let's just see. If as we just now prayed, you were in pain, but the simple prayer of faith and the power of God and the pain has left your body, and the Lord just now touched you, would you lift your hand and let us see it? Keep them up. Hold them up. My Lord. Hold them up. They're counting up in the balcony. It's hard for us to see you. I see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. About 20 in the balcony. God just healed her. Superintendent of Mississippi. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Woo! The devil is a liar. And all the other afflictions that have tried to come upon your body, they're gone too. In the name of the Lord. And I prophesy breakthrough for Mississippi. I prophesy that opposing winds are becoming favorable winds. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. How many did you come up with? Just give me a quick number. 100? They've counted up just a little over 100 hands that were just raised. 100. Oh, come on now, 100 people. They can't all be lying. They can't all be emotional. They can't all just be caught up in the heat of the moment. Give the Lord some high praise. The tumors are about to fall off. I'm telling you, the tumor that is on your body. The tumor. Touch it. Touch it. Wherever the swelling is, the tumor. The redness. The growth. Put your hand on it. Check it out. In the name of Jesus, I see them disappearing right now. Over here on my left, back there in the corner, I see you, ma'am. I see you. It's leaving you right now. It's disappearing. In the name of the Lord Jesus, tumors are leaving. Growths are leaving. Swelling is going down. It's leaving you right now in the name of the Lord Jesus. You've been having trouble breathing. Your bronchial tubes have been closing up on you. You've been almost in a panic attack or asthmatic attack. I see your breath coming to you right now. Take a deep breath. You're not going to cough. You're going to be all right in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Feeling good? Got a word?
All right. Ha-ta-ta-ta. If you feel a witness, would you give the Lord some high praise? We're a long way past emotion. We're just in the power of God now. Give the Lord some high praise for what He's already done. Now here's what the Holy Ghost is saying to us. There are some people in this room that are in life or death circumstances with your health. You have terminal diseases. The one that specifically come to us first, Brother Smith is a witness, is cancer. Cancer, terminal. If you don't get healed, you don't have long. Tonight, stepping into the apostolic. I'm telling you, the gift of faith is all over this place. You're going to live and not die because you were in this service. Because you were willing to just get a little crazy with your faith and believe there is a God in heaven. There is a God in heaven, and He does do these wonderful works among His people. If you have some type of a cancer, terminal problem, a tumor, a heart problem, a tumor disease in your heart, and you want to be prayed for right now, wherever you are, would you just lift your hand? Let somebody nearby you know. Let some people see you. There's a lady over there. She needs prayer. Right here in the front, down front. Some over here. Those of you that are around them. There's a brother right there. Lay hands on him. We're going to release faith. I called Brother Arnold, I'm just remembering this, I called him after hearing about Impact last year and all that happened. I said, the Lord is going to anoint you to speak life. As you preach, you're going to release life. Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. There is life all over this room. Death is leaving. I cast out death. I curse the spirit of death. I push the time clock forward. In the name of the Lord Jesus, would you lift your voice to the Lord? Would you praise Him with a loud voice for these to be healed right now? For these to be healed, for the cancer to go. We curse the cancer. We curse the spirit of cancer. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I loose the spirit of cancer in this house right now. I bind it in the outer darkness. God, right now, in the name of Jesus, let the radiation of the Holy Ghost burn it out right now. I curse the spirit.
and leave that body right now. Give him a shout of praise in the house. Give him a shout of praise in the house. If you don't have cancer, shout for somebody else. I'm saying give him a shout of praise in the house. Somebody give him a high praise in the house.
Hallelujah. 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 Hey, yeah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm not trying to restart a sermon. I stopped where I felt I was supposed to stop, but I need to give you something to go home with. The Lord dealt with me, and it's in my notes. I didn't get to it. In Joshua chapter 3, the Lord quickened to me and seemed to say to me, tell the people, if they're willing to get their feet wet, I'll do the wonder for them. And I said, what does that mean? And he showed me Joshua chapter 3, and he said, now, tell the priests to step down into the water. And when they step into the water, I'll stop the water. Now, if you read your Bible, he said he made the waters to pile up into a heap up by the city of Adam. Adam is 19 miles away from where they were crossing the river. So here's what the Lord is saying. When you go home, you act a little foolish. You act a little crazy. You step into the water. This stuff will stop. And your bigger miracle is going to be happening where you can't see it.
For I am the Lord that doeth wonders. And if you're willing to, I wish I could get somebody in the house to just do this. Come on. Because he stepped in and the river was overflowing its banks. He said, step into it when it's the worst time you can step into it. Step into it when it's overflowing. Step into it when it looks worse than it's ever been. And watch me roll them back.
This generation is waiting. It's waiting for somebody or somebodies to finally unleash fresh faith. We can no longer go with just 10 weeks in a Search for Truth Bible study. Please don't misunderstand me. I thank God for all the Bible studies we teach and people we win. But we have reached a time now where we're so close to the coming of the Lord. We got to have more than just a message. We've got to have the miraculous. We've got to have the supernatural. We've got to have the unexplainable. I'm leaving. I'm leaving. Your homework assignment is Romans 15, verses 18 and 19. I want you to go home before you turn your TV on or your video on or your web on, whatever you turn on, whatever you do. Read what Paul said. He said, I have gone about the territory of Illyricum and all around Jerusalem. Now watch. To preach the gospel unto the Gentiles. Now watch this. To make the Gentiles obedient unto the gospel. That by mighty signs and wonders, I have fully preached the gospel. Uh-oh. See, we preach Acts 2:38. We think that's the gospel. That's no. That's the entrance into the kingdom. We now have to start learning how to manifest the nature and the characteristics of the kingdom. He said, I have preached with mighty signs and wonders so that I fully preach the gospel. Now, I'm not damning and condemning anybody. I don't want to kill anybody's spirit. Listen to me. I'm a Johnny come lately. You guys, you were born out of your mother's womb in Pentecost. I was a hell-raising drunk. I came in late when I was almost 30. Okay? So I don't have the heritage you have. Okay? I don't have that. But you got to hear me, man. This academic Christianity, we got to push past it. We have to. The only reason that we are not seeing, now we're starting to get an upheaval, and we're starting to get people, more and more people. You know why? Because we have not preached and demanded and believed the signs and wonders and miracles to the degree that we have preached the baptism of the Holy Ghost. See, we preach the Holy. We are stunned and blown away. If we preach Acts 2:38 to somebody and they don't get the Holy Ghost, we immediately say there's something wrong. Something happened. They're supposed to get the Holy Ghost. Well, we need to now marry ourselves to the same adamancy, if I can use this without being irreverent, the same dimension of foolishness. Folks, you have more faith than you think you have. The greatest miracle in the universe is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. There is nothing to equal the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And you believe God for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's superior. It ought to be easy to believe for the inferior. So what happens? We lead this conference. We got to start doing it. You preachers, come on. Stop pulling up your socks. We need to start doing this. Every service. Don't let a service go by that you don't call for people to lay hands on them and pray for them, that they get better. The Bible said that they who by reason of use have their senses exercised thereby. What does that mean in English? I'll tell you what it means. The more you play the guitar, you better get at it. The more you sing, the better you get at it. The more you play on the computer, the better you get on the keyboard. The more you play the trumpet, the better you get on it. I know I don't look like it now, but once I was very young and very extremely muscular. I pumped iron all the time, small waist, big lats, big pecs. I was a big boy. You know how I did it? I pumped iron all the time, all the time. Repetition. That's a spiritual principle of. They who by reason of use have their senses exercised thereby. What does that mean? I'm going to pray for everybody that's sick. I'm going to rebuke it, and I'm going to take dominion over it, and I'm going to pray for it and believe that God is going to do it. And you say, well, what happens if it don't work? I'll ask you. And what do you do when you pray for somebody and they don't get the Holy Ghost? Do you shoot your mother? Do you kill your mother-in-law? Do you burn down your house? Or do you do like most of us do? Next. Why? Because you can't give anybody the Holy Ghost, and you and I can't heal anybody. But we can create faith. And we can create the atmosphere that is conducive to the supernatural. All right, one more time. Hands in the air. Now, Lord, give me faith and courage to believe. And help me, even though I may feel foolish and look foolish, help me to step out of the boat. It's time to walk on the water. It's time to walk on the water.